It's 4 o'clock, and this is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Stay tuned for Express Yourself coming up on KDNK. Indigenous earthlings, here we are again, seven revolutions later, on the left side of the Great Divide, balancing into another Express Yourself. I'm Luke Nessler. Jordan Eastman and his wife, Laurel Lane, formed the duo Fort Defiance, based in Nashville. Their current Western tour brings them to the Marble Distillery this Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Right here in downtown Carbondale, and I spoke with Jordan earlier in the week.
Driving on I-24, going to Lincoln, Nebraska to play Vega tomorrow.
Have you played in Lincoln before, Jordan?
We have. We've played at Duffy's, I think is the only place we've played in Lincoln. We normally play in Omaha. And we don't typically stop in Lincoln.
Omaha, that's the land of Saddle Creek Records, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yes, sir.
Is that a label that you ever pay attention to?
It is. I have kind of fallen out of touch with them. I used to a lot more. Like when I was in high school, Bright Eyes was really big.
Yeah.
And so Connor Oberst and Bright Eyes and... all the different bands that came out of their cursive. Sorry, I keep coughing. I haven't really followed anything that they're doing currently.
Who are you following? Who do you listen to? Who gets your respect on the singer-songwriter world out there?
Excuse me, sorry, I apologize for coughing so much.
That's all right.
I don't know. Modern bands, I really seem to like a lot of... we listen to Shovels and Rope. I like them a lot. We have some of our local Nashville friends, like Iggy Lane. I think she's really good. From a songwriting standpoint, going for more kind of a, I guess, lyrical direction and stuff. I'm big into the Gaslight Anthem and Brian Fallon. They're a lot more rock and roll. But I think the writing there is really good. We pretty much listen to a full spectrum of things. Anything that's telling a good story or has something good behind it, we enjoy it. So I have a lot of time to listen to music on the road, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, so the storytelling aspect is what you get attracted to.
Yeah, I think... probably that or anything that feels like it's coming from an earnest place or with sincerity. Like my favorite record of 2016 was John Paul White record, Beulah, that just came out not long ago at all. And those aren't really storytelling songs at all, but it feels really honest. And I don't know. That's just when I listen and do it, it kind of makes you feel something, I guess. That's what... it doesn't feel like it's not super polished or something that was really, seems like it's just churned out over and over and over again. It seems like it just came from a really good spot. And I like that sincerity, I think, goes a long way.
Well, I read something you wrote in I Woke Up in a Van Blogspot.
Oh, God, that's got to be old. Okay,
but
yeah.
But I'm sort of assuming that it holds, that it still holds, and you were sort of ranting against the production aspect of Nashville songwriting, how it's quite formularized, and what you just said about being honest, being the primary thing that moves you, sort of falls right into that, what you just said.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one thing that we live in Nashville, and it's a great city in a lot of ways, but there's also a lot of plasticity, I guess, or just kind of insincerity, where people present themselves in a completely different manner than they really are. And it's my biggest issue, if I have to think about, I guess, say that, is that the people in Nashville tend to be more interested in relationships for the connections and for the relationship as a whole. So it comes across in the songwriting, and it comes across in the music when you go see bands or if you listen to the localized radio there, independent radio, everyone sort of seems to try to be doing the same thing, and then a lot of it's really good, because there are a lot, not to say as a whole, Nashville's that way, but there are a lot of bands that work together and come up with really great communities, but the vast majority of what Nashville seems to be, at least to me from living there for the last 8 years, is people building fake relationships for the connections, writing a song they think is going to be a hit, not a song that they want to write, and you meet someone, the first thing they say is, oh man, we need to get together and write. Like, I don't want to get together and write with you. Nothing. I don't know you. But they're all about, what they really mean is, we need to get together and talk about who you know that can help me. And that's one thing that I think is kind of, it's off-putting about the culture there. Again, like I said, that's sort of general. That's definitely generalizing, because there are a lot of great artists I really respect, and we have a lot of friends there. But there still is, the music industry as a whole there is definitely run from a pretty insincere standpoint, and that's something that I think that is changing a little bit, but hasn't completely changed yet.
Well, I imagine for a young songwriter, I'm assuming you're still young or semi-young, but
I am, yeah.
It does seem like it's useful in the development of any songwriter to know what you don't want to do, and the only way you don't know what you don't want to do is when you see it around you up close. And so it strikes me that might be a useful thing in your songwriting dynamic.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's a lot, like I said, there are a lot of good songwriters and musicians and stuff in Nashville, and I think that's one thing that culture sort of is breeding, is kind of the anti-industry artist, like Sturgill Simpson's made it really big, kind of going against the grain there, and I think that's one thing that culture has done, is generated people who know what they don't want to do, what they don't want to be, and are willing to step out against that, which is pretty cool.
So you're not going to write a bromance song anytime soon, a bro country song?
No, definitely not. We played at CMA Fest this past June, which was really cool, because there were like 300,000 people there or something silly. And all the bands on every band really looked and sounded the same. And it blew my mind how much we didn't fit in. We're wearing cowboy hats and HBRC shirts and stuff, and stood out like a sore thumb, and it was definitely eye-opening for me to be right in the middle of all of these huge multi-platinum selling artists and realizing, like, man, we don't fit in with this at all. But then you have guys like Chris Stapleton, who sold platinum records, and feel like he's more our type, but yeah, we don't fit in with the bro country, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, especially when you write lines like, hold me close, I'm trying to let things go, you'll have to trust, I'm trying to trust in you. Yeah, that's pretty confessional. That's pretty honest and open.
Well, thank you. we try. That's why I think it's got to come from a place like that, at least for me. I write songs for me, because I want to write this song, and it's something that I might not be willing to say to somebody face-to-face, but I can say it when I'm holding a guitar, I guess.
In doing my due diligence for this, I discovered that you're it sounds like you're one of those people that writes all the time. You don't ever stop writing.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, sir.
Huh. Wow, that's a special burden. How do you deal with that?
Honestly, I think it's harder for me to not deal with it than it is to deal with it. which is, I think you had it kind of hit the nail on the head when you said it's a special burden. I enjoy it from the fact that, like I said just a moment ago, I'm able at least to take things and emotions that I don't really know that I feel or things that I deny I feel and start writing a song, and it comes out and it's like, man, I need to face this. This is something that clearly I'm dealing with or clearly I'm struggling with. Or things that, like I said, I don't want to say to someone face to face, or I don't have the courage to stand up and say on my own, I can write it down and play it. It just sort of happens. I think it started when I was a little kid and I felt restricted and like I couldn't like yell at my parents or whatever from a punk rock standpoint. Started writing those emotions down, and then before I knew it, that was just kind of where everything goes. Because I definitely don't speak the same way or necessarily present myself the same way that I do in my songwriting, or even I guess I feel the same way, but it's a lot more controlled. So yeah, but I mean, like I wrote some of my favorite songs, I'll write in drive-thrus or mowing the yard or something. It's like you said, it's consistent, it happens pretty regularly.
Well, you said an interesting thing too on that Blogspot post. I guess I just wait for the songs to find me rather than trying to go find the song. So that means that you have to be awake and alert.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've found, I mean, being sober helps with that a lot. I've always been very attentive to things and notice details. And we just spent Christmas with my parents. And my mom was talking about when I was a little kid, I used to pause movies when I was like 4 and 5 and would run over and ask her, why did that person make this facial expression? She's like, I don't know. He just made that facial expression. And so even from the time I was a little kid, I've always wanted to know things about people and about the things around me and try to observe. And yeah, that helps. I'm just kind of trying to be present enough to let those come.
Well, you travel and perform with your wife, Laurel Lane. Tell me about that dynamic.
That is one of the most fun and enjoyable things, I think, that I've ever experienced being a musician. Because I used to tour by myself, and that's a lot of time to be alone. Just drive through the middle of nowhere by yourself. And then I think that dynamic of being able to travel and tour with my wife is awesome. When we first met, I actually hired her to come sing with me as just be a backup singer for a 2-week run we were doing in the Southeast. And she came out, and the one stipulation was that we would not date. I had no interest in dating her or being romantically involved. And so we came out and we did the run, and I think it was like 10 days into it, we started dating, and next thing you know, now we're married. And but no, she's incredible to be on the road with, because it's nice to not have to deal with the distance of being in a relationship. And one thing touring really does is sever relationships. And it's not impossible, but it's definitely a strain on a relationship to be apart for as long as we are, especially when I'll be gone for 8 or 9 weeks at a time. So to have her with me and to have her on stage, she's an incredible singer. I get by on my songwriting and performance, but definitely not my voice. And she's the opposite. She can sing and perform and play. And it's just really cool to have that dynamic on stage. And people really have raved about that in our interaction, because we don't really write set lists or have anything planned. So it's all just our dynamic. And I mean, whether it's us bickering on stage like a married couple or just having a good time, whatever, people seem to react really well to our just kind of natural interaction. And again, I think that plays back to the honesty of everything. It just kind of makes it fun and really enjoyable for us and hopefully for the people watching us.
Well, you know, it strikes me that that's a beautiful thing, but I'll bet there are also some pitfalls, and it sounds like you're probably aware of them. I'm thinking, for instance, of the fact that there are no secrets. That, you know, how could you hold a secret from your wife when you're singing about it in front of hundreds of people? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
No, you're absolutely 100% right. And when you're with somebody for 24 hours a day, every single day. But I don't know. That's one thing that was a dynamic that we had to address, or an issue we had to address right off the bat. Was kind of, there's definitely a sense of vulnerability, because I see all of her great attributes and all of her flaws every day. And then she has to see all of my flaws, and I guess I might have a great attribute or two, she periodically gets to witness. But so you see that every day. Like you said, there's not really time to even really develop secrets, but nothing really is withheld from the other person because of the fact that you're together for 24 hours a day. And also because, like you just mentioned, I write down whatever I'm feeling, and then I basically, like, wait a second, she'll call me out on it, though. She has no problem calling me out on anything.
Now, does she write too, or do you write together, or is the writing all coming from you?
The vast majority of it comes from me. She wrote one song on her previous record, which is my favorite one, called Tall Off the Bet. And then on the new record that we have that comes out next month, she has, you know, two of them, right? There are two of them on that one.
Uh-huh.
So they're good. We write differently, that's for sure. But yeah, her songs are great.
Well, as near as I can determine, you have a couple of releases, one called 1924 and the newest or more recent one, Worry Has No Home. And I'm assuming that since you're always writing, there's going to be more here pretty soon. Is that right?
There is. We're releasing another record called The Haunts of Youth that comes out next month. I'm really excited about it. I think it's the best writing I've ever done, and I think it's by far the best production we've ever put on an album. The last record, Worry Has No Home, I feel like we did a good job with it, but we recorded and mixed the whole thing in a weekend. So we recorded it Friday and Saturday and mixed it on Sunday. So it was done really, really quickly. It's basically live. And for the way we did it, I think it came out as good as it could have. With this new one, I think we spent 10 or 11 days in studio and really hashed it out. And now it's been getting mixed for the past couple weeks. I think it's going to come out at a whole different level than anything we've ever had our hands on. And I'm really proud of it, and hopefully people respond to it that way too.
Wow, how about that? Now, do you test the songs on the road before you think about recording them?
Yeah, absolutely. There's one song on the new record that we never had played. It's funny, we had 19 songs laid out, which is way too many to put on an album. And then we were talking about cutting songs, and what ended up happening was I kept writing more songs, and So we ended up recording quite a few songs. They won't all get released on there, but the vast majority of them we test out on the road. We play every night. And a lot of times, I'll write a song 3 hours before a show, and then we'll just go out and play it that night. And that's kind of how a lot of things get weeded out. Sometimes people respond really, really well to a song that I didn't expect them to. And that's a cool feeling. It's like, okay, well, that song didn't hit me the way that I expected I wanted it to, but it hit everybody else that way. So it must be a good song. And two or three times later, you realize that's people's favorite song, and then made the album kind of. So that's a cool feeling.
I have to ask you about your performing strategy, since you're one of those songwriters that has sort of a gushing torrent of words. And I imagine that you're playing in some places sometimes where gushing torrents of words just don't work. I mean, people can't hear what you're singing, or maybe they're not paying attention because it's a bar and not a listening room, whatever the circumstances are. So I wonder what your strategy is for putting those kinds of songs across in those kinds of circumstances.
That's one thing that I think we're really good at it, and we get told that pretty often, is kind of the ability to read a room. And but you're absolutely right. We play a lot of places where we could never sit down and play a song like one with five verses that are all telling a long story without really any dynamic change. That just won't go over. People will start talking over it. But we're one thing like I think that we do well is interact with the audience. We pass out noisemakers during one song. We like to get people involved singing along, especially if there's songs that people in the area already know, or something that's easy and sort of chanty. I'll go out in the audience and stand on a chair or someone's shoulders or something and yell at everybody and get everyone's attention and have them sing something back to us. And usually, if you do that once or twice, you have everybody's full attention or 90% of the room's full attention, and then you can kind of sneak in a slower storytelling song like that or something soft that only Laurel plays by herself with just ukulele, and then they freak out because you kind of brought them from 0 to 60 and then dropped it the bottom back out, and now it's slow again, and kind of putting everybody on your back and dragging them through an experience there is something that we do, or at least have been told we do a good job with. So we are sort of able to work in slower songs that I feel like a lot of bands wouldn't be able to do. But some shows you can't really gain control, and we just sort of barrel through it. We've got a lot of fast stuff that we haven't recorded. Sometimes you've got to resort to just playing four or five quick songs, one right after another, and so you can feel it out, I guess.
I know you're traveling west into the teeth of this big storm, so stay on the road, okay, and go slow.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
That's Jordan Eastman from the band Fort Defiance playing Marble Distillery this coming Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Well, 7 weeks ago on the let's see what they sound like. How about that? Let's try a tune here from Fort Defiance called Trouble on a Troubled Mind.
My office stands, I'm waiting for the words of your reply. It seems there's no escaping all this trouble on my mind. If you want me, show your stay. And if you don't, then say goodbye. 'Cause I'm wondering and praying for the truth, no more to hide. And no worry, no fear, everybody disappeared. And as you're walking out, I'm standing with a blur upon my mind, running through the days that led us here to this decline. And as a soldier to his brother swears, never one to leave behind. You promised to me long before we crumbled over time. Now the honest fall a victim to the truth within the lies. Were there flashes of a signal that I failed to recognize? I guess there ain't no use in wondering if you're only wondering why. And no no, no fear, no, oh, I'll be here. No, no worries, no.
That's Fort Defiance, Trouble on a Troubled Mind, playing Sunday afternoon over there at Marble Distillery. Well, 7 weeks ago, on the eve of their debut shows at the Thunder River Theater, four of the Consensual Improv cast visited the show to talk about the art of improvisation. It turns out that those first two shows were complete sellouts, much to everyone's surprise and delight. Well, their third show is this Saturday at the theater, so that's a good excuse in my mind to listen again to Miller Ford, Jan Garrett, Gerald DeLisser, and Jeff Patterson discuss what they do.
And I feel enriched. I'm not going to lie. I feel totally enriched.
Me too, Jeff. Are you responsible for this wonderful craziness?
I take no responsibility for this craziness other than, no, we all came together, and it's a ton of fun, this group, as you can tell. And the show's Friday and Saturday. You know, it's just going to be more like a party, really, than a show.
Huh. Well, the website, Thunder River Theater website, says hilarious, short, and long-form improv games, laughs, surprises, and good times.
Good times. I mean, how do you go wrong with good times?
I
don't really.
No.
Thank you, Dr. Know-It-All, for weighing in once again. I mean, you're so generous, generous of spirit. Thank you very much.
You know, I'm really happy that we did this little bit. You know why? Because I see what it is. You hear about improv, you know, Second City Improv and all the other history of improv in the theater. But to see it in front of your eyes, I'm struck by the fact that you guys really have to listen.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
You do, don't you? That's a great skill.
It's a skill that sometimes people forget.
Was that something that came natural to you, Jan Garrett, or did you have to learn?
Oh, my God. That's something that one has to learn, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you if you have something to say, like, all the time, you tend to put it out there all the time. But the point is, especially in conversations, even at a dinner party, I think what happens lots of times is, you know, you just have this exchange of stories. People are kind of trying to one-up one another. And so somebody else is talking, and you're just thinking, oh, what am I going to say? That's really cool. And, you know, and that is so annoying after a while. It's so completely boring.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the rules of improv, the second rule, is listen.
And what's the first?
Yes, and.
The second rule literally is listen, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That is correct. And, huh. You know, it's a... It's kind of lessons in life, if you can take those little things with you. You know, two ears, one mouth.
And these lessons he's talking about, they're punishable by law. We have, during our shows, we will have policemen in uniform there. And if we break the rules, we'll be jailed. There'll be jail time. There'll be sentencing. It's pretty serious stuff.
So these laws were brought down from the mount, etched into stone tablets.
Yes, brought down from the mountain of Second City and Del Close and some of the forerunners of improv. And now our American law enforcement is enforcing it, which I feel really intimidated by, honestly.
Gerald DeLisser, are you the kind of person that can follow rules?
Yeah, for the most part. I enforce a lot of rules, too. I sell marijuana for a living, so I have to follow a lot of rules when doing that, believe it or not.
How ironic is that?
Yeah.
And Miller, what about you? What's your experience with that?
Well, you know, breaking the rules is kind of in my blood. So I usually, I don't fall victim too hard to the law and order part of it, but it's all a learning experience for me. It's brand new, and I've just been loving it since I started.
And just so you know, Miller's not high. He sounds like it a little bit, but you're not high. I'm not trying to be rude, but when I first met you, I thought you were high, but you're not. You just have this really...
That wouldn't work out with probation, no.
Right, but this guy's very funny. I mean, people that come to the show are going to see. You just have... You kind of make people laugh just looking at... I'm not saying you're funny looking. I'm just saying that you have a funny way about you.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I have been called funny looking, and I have that visual effect on people sometimes. If I don't make you angry, then you usually would probably like me by first looks alone. So thanks, Jeff. I appreciate that. Yeah. I am not high, though.
Shameless plug for his screenplay that he's working on is Bearvalanche. Bearvalanche. I'm just putting a plug out there for your screenplay.
Is that a pun? Bearvalanche.
Just get ready. The animal-oriented chaos movies are going on right now, and Bearvalanche will take place in Aspen. It has to do with there's a little fracking involved, and the main character that is Trump-esque will be eaten by the end of the movie.
How did consensual improv come together? You guys call yourself a posse, right?
Yeah, because it's a little bit irreverent and unscripted, so that's why I like the word posse. About 6 months ago, I just wanted to do more improv. I used to do it in Los Angeles years ago in my former life as an actor. It was such great personal growth and creative growth, and I just wanted to do it. And I looked around. I couldn't find a class or anything, and I decided to put together a group and with the intention of practicing and mastering the form and then eventually performing. And then that brings us to today. We really need to get an audience and get up, and that's what we're doing this weekend.
Huh. Did this show require a lot of rehearsal?
Yes, but the rehearsal is not that we're going to be rehearsing the actual material we deliver. We're just practicing the rules of improv and spontaneously creating new scenes every single time we rehearse. So it's never the same. It's all new material, all new characters every single time we step on stage.
Huh.
I would, for someone inexperienced as I am with improv, I would call it more like a sport. And we don't necessarily rehearse, we practice. We have the format in front of us, and just like a sport, the rules are established. But once the ball's on the field, per se, there's no telling what's really going to happen. And that's the beauty.
But those of us who aren't really sporty people, but maybe those of us who are musicians are really used to playing with one another. And what I think is really cool, many things I think is cool about this consensual improv, but the point is that grown-ups actually get together to play.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what I'm saying? It's fun, and it's very inclusive and generous, and we're supporting one another while the whole thing's going down. So it'd be like, you know, you're playing with a really good jazz band, and, you know, somebody's taking a solo, but everybody else is supporting that person. And then you switch leads, you know? So... It's sports and it's music. And what else, Gerald? What would you say?
Just a lot of fun. I really enjoy playing with all these guys. They're a great group to play with. And I think you guys should come join and watch. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I imagine part of that rehearsal process is just getting comfortable with each other. Because I'll bet when you're up there doing improv, you're kind of naked, you know? So you guys have to feel secure that you're all in it together.
Yeah, although we rehearse naked almost every week, We will not be doing the show naked. We'll just be figuratively naked.
So that's the consensual part of all
that's
this?
Where it's. We all agreed. Okay. We're not wearing clothes this rehearsal. So it was. You're right. It was consensual. One of the things I think is so cool about improv and is different than real life is it is built on saying yes and. So.
Instead of yes, but.
Yeah, correct.
Or no.
Or just but, no, yeah. Or denying. A lot of times in a scene, you know, you'll watch two actors and one actor might say, Jared, let's just do something. Throw me a line and we'll go down the traditional path of what happens in real life. Let's just kind of do a scene.
Okay. Oh, Frank, what is, oh my God, that mole on your face, it doesn't look like it looks like it's growing.
It's not a mole. That's not a mole. I don't have a mole on my face. My face is beautiful.
It looks like it must be another twin.
I don't know what you're looking at because it doesn't exist. Okay, there's an example. I denied him. I'm like, that's not a mole. You'd be surprised how often that happens naturally in scenes when people start doing improv. And we do that in life. We resist what comes our way. What's so cool about improv is it's you must say yes and then add new information, which takes it in directions you cannot control. And that is the scary but brilliant part of it. So let's rewind the tape. Let's do that again. Give me the same line and I'll agree. And we'll play that scene out a little bit as it would in improv rather than real life or how it happens sometimes in theater, which is built on conflict. Go ahead.
Oh my God, Frank, that thing on your face, it's enormous.
It's huge. It's throbbing. I feel like it has its own heartbeat.
Oh my God, is it talking?
Yes, it is. And it's telling me that I need $100.
$100? Okay, that seems reasonable.
Totally reasonable.
Do I get to talk to it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
For $100, you can talk to it 3 times a week for 5 minutes.
All right, cool. Yeah, there's some things I'd like to air out.
Well, let's start. What's the first thing?
So first off, there's this guy, Frank, the guy that you're attached to.
This bump hates Frank, just
I'm
for the
I'm talking
record.
To Frank.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I'm sorry. So, yeah, this guy, I don't know. He has things growing on his face, and I don't really trust those things. I know I'm talking to you right now.
Whoa. Okay. So you're talking to me and the bump. I'm
Frank,
into
Frank,
it.
Frank, please. I'm talking to the thing on your face.
You're right. I'm controlling again. This thing has got a hold of me. I can't even think for myself anymore. Oh. So you get the idea. See what happens? It's like it goes to a place you can't control. And it's funny because we don't say yes. We're not used to it. And when you say yes and then you add a little information on top of it, it can be really exciting and fun.
Huh. Sounds like a life lesson too, which is kind of cool.
Totally cool.
Allegorical.
Totally. I mean, I think I like you guys to respond because some of the people in the group have said, I've been saying yes and in my life, and lots of opportunities are happening because of it. I don't know if you guys found that. One of our group members, Don Cheney, he loves, you know, it's one of the things he always says, I love this yes and stuff because I'm saying yes and in my life more. And you know, he's just like an evangelist of yes. And he's such a bright, you know, light of a guy in the world. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about.
So who are the other people involved in the...
Michael Monroney is okay. In the group. Nina Gabanelli is in the group. Cassidy Wiley. Corey Simpson. And who else am I missing?
That's it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep.
And the four of us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how many? 10? 9?
There's 9.
Nine.
I might have. I hope I didn't. Did I miss someone?
Huh.
God.
Yes, I almost forgot. Most important player. Yes.
And God's wife. Let's have Mrs. God in there too, because that's important.
They're both watching, rubbing
yeah.
their bellies.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, we've got a great yes together. Always together. We've got a great musician, Eric. I'm forgetting Eric's last name. I feel like a heel.
Lamb.
Eric Lamb. He's a great musician and adds a lot of color and some really fun stuff in the show as well. And Olivia and Jesse. Olivia and Jesse and Sean are part of the tech, and they're just sharp as a tack. It's really a fun show.
And Miller Ford, do you find yourself having to suppress laughter while you're on stage? Like, I can't believe they just said that.
I find myself trying to suppress laughter. I don't know how well it works. And I think that adds to the whole dynamic of it because, you know, I can't help but laugh at some of this stuff. It's so spontaneous and awesome. I just I can't contain myself. So laughter just happens for sure.
So it's not one of the rules that you were talking about earlier.
I would hope not, because those police would have already locked me up a long time ago.
Thou shalt not laugh is not part of the equation.
Yeah. Not at all.
Especially for the audience, I presume.
Well, there's no mistakes in improv. We're supposed to weave everything into it. So even if you did laugh, a lot of times you could include that into your character, you know.
That's another cool thing. No mistakes in improv. Yeah. I have to bend my mind around that.
Yeah.
Huh.
And what he means is that whatever one of the actors on stage gives their fellow actor, it's the other actor's job to justify it. Just like when Gerald said, that thing on your face, it's huge. I said, yes, and it's got a heartbeat. It's like I agree and justify what he's talking about and then toss something to him and then he justifies it. And that's really our job, is just to justify what is going on. There's absurdity that happens. We just give a real, genuine, like authentically genuine reason for why that's happening. And that's what is kind of can be zany about it. We're not trying to be funny. And it happens. It happens. I do this all the time, more than I'd like to admit. I try to be funny, and then it sucks. So we're really not trying to be funny. We're just trying to be truthful to how we feel in the circumstance of the moment and to respond. And when we do that, given the rules of improv, it's just some really exciting things happen.
Go ahead, Jan.
No, I was just going to say, I think we're all having fun up on stage and doing what we do, but it's important to say also that the audience is part of what's going on. It's really important. The audience is part, we'll get suggestions from the audience. And there's this sense, I think this is true, tell me you guys who are in theater, that there's a fourth wall usually when you do a production. So that the audience is just sort of sitting there peering in on what is happening on stage. But in this case, there's no fourth wall. In other words, it's completely, permeable. Everything in, everything out, and the audience is included. So there's this sense of generosity, and everybody's in on the jokes.
I would even say that the audience is just as much of a member of our troupe as we are, because without them, it wouldn't even really happen. So they're just as important.
Do you actually invite them to participate, or is it just sort of understood?
It's all about the moment. So, I mean, they might be up there with us at sometimes. At other times, it's just going to be as much as a suggestion, or maybe knowing about their day, or getting the title of some type of story that we can run with. So,
yeah, it is a great feeling as an audience member. I mean, I've gone to improv shows as well. When you give a suggestion that creates just a beautiful, great, funny scene, you know, it really makes you do feel a part of it.
Yeah, and for example, when we open up a game or a scene or something, someone from the game or the host will walk up and say, you know, could I get a suggestion? This next scene is going to be inspired by a suggestion. So give me a one-word suggestion, something you might find in your grandma's kitchen. And somebody says, an egg beater. So, all right, an egg beater is going to inform or inspire this scene. And then the two actors create a who they are, where they are, the circumstances, all around an egg beater. Right. And that's what's so really, it's amazing to watch that happen, because then sometimes with the show, as scenes and parts of different scenes go along, there's sort of like this gestalt, like this bigger thing that starts to happen between the audience and the cast. It almost like becomes one organism, and these thoughts come out and like things get tied together from earlier scenes. And it can be really cool.
Are all nine of you on stage at once all the time?
Not all the time. Mm-hmm. There'll be some games where everybody's playing, some scenes where everybody's involved. And then there'll be some where there'll be two, some four, some five, some three. We kind of mix it up.
Huh. Wow. Amazing. Really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. Saturday night, 8 p.m.
Doors open at 7:30. And there'll be a cash bar. Again, it's going to be a very light, fun mood. Cash bar will be open the whole time. We're going to actually hang around afterwards, after the show, for 30, 45 minutes to an hour, and maybe have a drink and visit with people or chat and just kind of hang out, because we so appreciate the people that are coming out. We think this is kind of a fun, unique thing. The things that you would do in Chicago, New York, LA, and the talent of the people in this group is really sweet. We're not where we are going to be in terms of our prep and being like our group is getting really good fast, but we're not where we're going to be. But this is going to be cool for people to see us where we're at now.
So there's a commitment for you guys to keep it going, sounds like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Thunder River Theater, they can get tickets on their website. Is that right?
TRTC.com.
Yep. And 963-8200 is the phone number.
And if you got an extra $10 jingle jangling around in your pocket, that's not too bad. Come on in and see us.
Yes. Thanks, Luke. Thanks for having us.
Hey,
so much
fun.
Yeah.
This was great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you all.
Thanks a lot.
May the force be with you.
And you. And that's Consensual Improv playing Saturday night over at Thunder River Theater. Committed to keeping it going, and here they are with their third show in downtown Carbondale. Well, Pearl and Wood are a part of Carbondale's burgeoning music scene. The band features Ellie Barber on the cello, Natalie Spears on the banjo, and Mark Zoller on the drums. And every little once in a while, they have to stop by to Katie and Kay and let us know what's going on. So two-thirds of the band are with us today. Natalie Spears, welcome back.
Thank you, Luke.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well, too. Good and to Ellie Barber.
Hello.
How are you? What's new in the Pearl and Wood universe?
Oh man. So many things.
Really? That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
The most exciting, I think, is that we're thinking about recording an album this coming spring.
Ooh.
So we're kind of shopping around the studio scene, as it were.
Checking things out.
Saving your pennies?
Yeah. We are going to be launching some sort of Kickstarter or something.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to let us know when that happens.
We will keep you posted.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're excited about it. It's a...
So are you carrying some new songs into the studio?
We are. We've got a bunch of new originals, and some of which we'll be playing tonight at Steve's at 9 p.m. And yeah, just... re-recording some old ones and really mastering them.
Yeah, it helps that I actually live here now.
Yeah.
That's been another commuted. Big change. I was we started this band when I was still in school on the Front Range two summers ago. So it's been a
commute.
Long distance relationship.
Wow, how about that? So you've been together 2 years. How does it feel after 2 years? You can still talk to each other.
Yeah. And we're traveling together next month.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Patagonia and
really?
Yep.
Are you taking your instruments with you?
We're bringing some instruments with us.
Wow.
We're going down to visit Weston Boyles, who started a nonprofit in the down there called Riosta Rivers and has done exchanges with the kids at CRMS.
Oh, okay.
To go down and kayak the rivers down there and brought Chilean kids up here to kayak the Grand Canyon.
That sounds inspiring.
He is an inspiring individual.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, you have your banjo and your cello with you. I'd love to hear a couple tunes.
Cool.
Well, we got some for you.
Yay.
Yeah. This first one I wrote when I was leaving Carbondale 2.5 years ago. Turns out this small town is hard to leave. Just want to make sure I'm in tune. Sounds as good as it's gonna get. 1, 2, 3.
Spins like a wooden top and wobbles till it's ready to drop. And I sit here saying the blues while banjo whispers a sweet soft tune. Step outside, and little birds, they fly so high, they sing so sweet, and sing so true, and they take away these leaving blues. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. The apple tree seed I sow reminds me what it means to grow with roots so deep, yeah, and trunk strong, and new fruit to bear after winter's long. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. As I climb on into my quilted bed, the sandman comes to rest my bones and whispers softly that you're not, that you're not, that you're not, you're not, you're not alone. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine. I know when I go, I'm gonna be fine.
That's lovely.
Thanks, Luke.
I never thought of a banjo as whispering, but it does in that song.
You just have to play
maybe
it the right
old way. Time banjos do. I don't know if bluegrass banjos do. They kind
of
do.
Uh-huh. Well, they especially set against the cello, which is part of the, I think, musical charm of your group.
Thank you.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah, I know.
It's fun to have the classical and old time mix.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty unusual these days.
Well, unfortunately, the show is winding down quickly, so I'd like you to do one more before we have to go. Pearl and Wood playing Steve's Guitars tonight. That show's starting about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, so head on over there for some great music.
This next one is one that I just wrote. It's a body percussion one, which we enjoy doing from time to time. Oh my, oh, oh my, oh my, ooh, oh my, ooh, oh my, oh, oh my, oh my, ooh, oh my, ooh, oh my, oh, oh my, oh my, ooh. Ooh. Not sure if I should pass go. What ruckus it might bring. These gates are open wide, but I might need another wing. Oh, but Shady won't go. Oh, Shady won't go. Shady won't go, oh, oh, Shady won't go, oh, 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 oh my, oh, oh my, oh my, ooh, oh my, ooh, oh my, oh, oh my, oh my, ooh, oh my, ooh. Permission never got me anywhere. But forgiveness always paid back. I'm putting on my nicest jumpsuit and my biggest, dirtiest pack. Oh,
but Shady won't go. Oh, Shady won't go. Shady won't go. Oh, but Shady won't go. Oh, 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 oh my, oh, oh my, oh my, ooh, oh my, ooh, oh my, oh, oh my, oh my, ooh, oh my, ooh.
Yay.
Thanks.
That sounded great.
Thank you so much.
It's so fun.
Natalie Spears, thanks for joining us on Express Yourself today.
Thanks, Luke.
Ellie Barber, you too.
Thank you, Luke.
And hello to Barn Darlington, your drummer.
Woohoo!
The most huggable drummer around.
He sure is.
One of them. There's a few others in this town.
I don't know. We'll fight them.
Yeah?
I think Mark's
the most
Midwest
roots.
Yeah. Anyway, tonight over at Steve's Guitars.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for joining us. Well, that brings to the end another Express Yourself. Thank you for listening. Please remember to go out there and express yourself. And stay tuned for the news coming right up.